84 Charing Cross Road, a wonderful movie back in the day, is now a stage show and indeed is on tour for a fairly short tour, but one which actually kicks off in Darlington in a few days from now, actually, 23rd of May, right the way through to the 26th of May. Goes off to Wolverhampton, Malvern, Richmond, Oxford and Cambridge. And we're delighted now to be able to speak to one of the cast of the aforementioned 84 Charing Cross Road. She's the legend who plays Cecily Farr, but she's also, under her credits, got Beauty and the Beast, The Paper Dolls, a whole heap of other things. It's the wonderful Samantha Sutherland. How are you, Samantha?
Oh, that's very kind. Yes, I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
Brilliant, excellent. And you know, just delighted to touch base with your good self. Now, you've got a very fulsome cast, actually, which obviously is just part of the whole thing, because you have a lovely mixture of Stephanie Powers and Clive Owen from that point of view. It's looking pretty good, really, isn't it?
Very good, very good. Yes, I mean, obviously, Stephanie Powers is a force of nature from her times across Broadway and lots of American television shows, especially Heart to Heart, which I think is probably what she's most well known for.
Well,
I think her fans are called Hearties. I think we'll have a lot of Hearties coming along.
And rightly so. I mean, probably looking for Freeway and the Butler Max, but still, there we are. Interestingly enough, actually, one of our regular correspondents from San Diego, Arthur Weingarten, actually wrote a few episodes of Girl from U.N.C.L.E., actually, which was Stephanie's breakthrough show back in the day. So it's all connected. Anyway, we're not here to talk about Stephanie, much as it's a wonderful thing. We're here to talk about your good self, Samantha, and the actual play itself, 84 Charing Cross Road. As I said, based on the movie, you're probably far too young to ever remember the movie or have sort of seen the movie, but it's a wonderful comedy and action.
Oh, it is, yeah. I know, I did watch, as soon as I got the audition through, I watched it and it's absolutely charming. It's lovely.
Excellent. Yeah. So it's a wonderful sort of, which of course has its roots in reality. It's a real life story. Share with us, what's it all about?
Yeah, well, it's about a writer called Helene Hunt, who back in 1949, she was based in Manhattan in New York. She started writing letters to a bookshop in London, funnily enough, at 84 Charing Cross Road. And she describes her taste in books as antiquarian. She loves her old books, so she writes to this old bookshop and she's got lots on her list that she'd like, things like Samuel Pepys' diary and Hazlitt essays and old versions of Bibles and things. And, of course, they've got these wonderful books. And so they start to send these books to her across the water. And they sort of strike up a friendship, really. And that's why it's lovely. That's why it becomes a story, because we find out more about Helene Hunt and we find out all about the people that work in the bookshop. And it crosses a span of 20 years. So it starts in 1949, you know, during rationing is still going on. And it's just such a different world in England as it is in America at that time. And you get to experience both worlds, which is really lovely.
Now, from your own perspective, the character of Cecily Farr, how does he impact in the whole narrative story?
Oh, well, it's lovely when she appears, actually, because she gives it such a different kind of energy all of a sudden. Cecily is a lady that works in the bookshop, and she takes it upon herself to secretly write to Helene, because she's heard all about this very eccentric American lady that's writing requests for books, and she, you know, she becomes very interested in this character. And so behind her boss's back, she actually writes a letter of her own to Helene, just to sort of introduce herself, really, and say thank you very much for all of the parcels that Helene sends. Because Helene very cleverly finds out about this Danish company where you could order lots of treats like meats and fruit and sugary things that, of course, you couldn't get during the time of rationing. So she would get it delivered from Denmark to the bookshop in London, so that the people that worked there could all share these treats, which is it's an amazing thing back in the early 1950s. So Cecily writes to say thank you herself and give a bit more detail about the people that work in the shop.
Indeed, as my students on the Origins of Modern Britain module for Level 2 Journalism would actually say, yes, they didn't realise that Britain still had rationing until pretty much the coronation in 1953. It was still very much in place there.
Yeah.
So historically accurate for that. I think I've just realised, actually, it's Clive Francis who, of course, is the... I think I might have mentioned Clive Owen, but never mind.
Clive
easily
Francis,
confused, you know, one or the other, cause separated birth.
Both
could be
equally
different.
Handsome as
well,
each other.
Well, there we are. Let's move on to your own background. I mean, you mentioned obviously Stephanie being known for Heart to Heart. I suspect that Chuck E. Cheese and the Galaxy 5000 is something which you know, many people will say, "Yay, it's the dancer from Chuck E. Cheese and the Galaxy 5000." Was that an early sort of role in which you were sort of saying, "Yes, this is for me, the business of show"?
Wow, she must have kept that one to herself. I haven't heard about that one, but I'm going to be straight on it and ordering so I can watch myself.
it's wondrous. That's the important thing. And, of course, you're also known for the wonderful TV series The Green, Green Grass, of course, in which you were Sarah. That was back in 2009. Amazing. I can't believe it's that long ago, actually, but still, there we are. It works through that. If you're faced with the question of giving advice to actors who are, or young actors who are thinking maybe joining the profession, etc., what would you say the best route forward? Is it theatre? Is it a combination of both? Is it radio, perhaps? What sort of route would you suggest is the best way to pursue?
I think that, I mean, I went to drama school when I was 18, and I suppose when you're that young, you just all you know is that you have a passion for telling stories and playing characters. So you sort of get through drama school, and then it's, for me, I just kind of went along with what kind of sort of happened. I became a yes person, which I thought was a really important lesson. And, you know, you work with lots of different people and then suddenly opportunities start to arise. And I've just kind of rolled with it, really. One thing that I explored, which kind of came out of nowhere, was puppetry. And that's been a really important thing to me. And, you know, had I not been a yes person, as I've said, I probably wouldn't have ended up doing that. And actually, it's opened lots of exciting doors for me. And also, being an actor-musician, this show, 84 Charing Cross Road, is an actor-musician show, which means that it's a play, as we know, but lots of the actors actually play musical instruments live on stage as well to kind of heighten the atmosphere and the story. And so that's something that's been really useful for me, because I play various instruments. So I would say to anyone that's kind of starting out, whatever skills you have, exploit them. Basically, if you play a little bit of clarinet, go and get even better. If you know how to do a little bit of puppetry, go out and do a course and get even better. And same with television. If you think you've got a bit of a skill in front of the camera, go and do another course as well to make sure that people know your name and know that you're good at what you're doing.
Wonderful. And of course, you said yes to this interview, so there we are. So it's been
there
confirming
we go.
That whole routine. If you yes. said no, I can't be bothered, I would have said no, yes, put in various sort of ways.
More yeses everywhere.
Well, there we are. Now, the tour itself, it's a fairly short tour, but at the same time, interesting, going from Darlington, Wolverhampton, Malvern, Richmond, Oxford, and Cambridge. Are these areas you've played before, or is it a case of no, I've never ventured north of, I don't know, Leeds?
No, I love this about the job. I really like exploring England and, well, the UK, all over the place. I've never actually performed in Darlington before, so that's our first venue. So I'm really looking forward to it, because apparently it's a beautiful venue. But I've performed in places like York, and I have performed in Leeds as well. There's a really good theatre scene going on up there, actually. Yeah, so it'll be nice to explore a new one. And then Malvern and Wolverhampton will also be new to me. But I have performed in Oxford before, and obviously London as well.
And of course, for our listeners in Scotland and Wales and Ireland, they're going to say, what's this? It's an English-based tour.
Yeah,
what's going on here?
Coming.
Exactly,
yeah. Well, I think that with a tour that is only 6 weeks, I think that it's because they're exploring something and trying this new form out, this new actor-musician version of the play. And, you know, obviously, if it's a success, then we'll hope that we'll go on to other places or even have a West End run in London where lots of people can flock down and hopefully make a night of it.
Precisely so. And in terms of direction, Richard Beecham, of course, is the director. Is he treating you well? Because, I mean, it's always important that the director... I mean, I've worked with various directors, many of whom drive by enthusiasm, others actually, it's like Hitchcock, you may not be able to say anything, but, I mean, is it working well together?
Absolutely. He's running a very tight ship, which is very good. It's wonderful. We're all getting along really well. The two leads have done the show before, actually, so Stephanie and Clive aren't new to this. But the rest of the cast, haven't done it before. So we're all muddling along with figuring new things out, creating new things, but also kind of going along with what happened in the previous production as well. But Richard's great. He's got some lovely ideas, and we've got a lovely music director in as well called Rebecca Applin, who is making sure that the music is doing its job as well, telling the story and making everything sound lovely.
Well, I think tickets are certainly going very fast, but you could probably check out darlingsandhippodrome.co.uk for the opening week for the whole package. Then again, just check out the other sort of zones with that. Is there a website for the company as well for 84 Charing Cross Road that people should actually say, yes, we should go for that, or just type in Cambridge Arts Theatre Productions and magic will ensue?
Yeah, good question. I think that Cambridge Arts Theatre will have most of the information, I think. But also, I think 84 Charing Cross Road has its own Twitter handle, if people use Twitter, which I don't know off the top of my head, unfortunately, but I think it's something simple like 84 Charing Cross Road Tour.
It's a logical deduction to make.
Yeah.
Exactly. And just briefly moving back to your resume / CV and so on, Beauty and the Beast and Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. Were they areas where clearly you must have taken the lead in both, but which one did you prefer? Is that like sort of, I can't possibly choose.
Oh, do you know what? I absolutely loved my role in Beauty and the Beast because I was a horrible, horrible sister to Belle. Oh. And I got so much pleasure out of being really, really nasty, which probably says a lot about me. But I really enjoyed that. So, and Alice's Adventures Underground, I was solely a puppeteer, so it was a very different experience for me. Yeah. I got to use some beautiful puppets. But with Beauty and the Beast, I was hopping around and nailing my evil laugh, which is very enjoyable.
Well, if you want to do a mwahahaha, feel free to do so in any way. I'm sure we can work through that basis.
It was just like that.
What was it? Well, you see, that's Lambda training, Samantha. That's what it works here on that basis. However, and I just want to clarify for the benefit of people, say, oh, Samantha Sutherland, any relation to Donald? Presumably not.
Oh, well, I like to think, somewhere.
Yeah, it's,
if I was to explore my family tree,
exactly.
I would hope to find a link somehow, but unfortunately not a close relative, no.
When you get signed up for Who Do They Think You Are, another series, I'm sure we can trace all sorts of other bits and pieces.
Oh,
that
would be amazing. I need to get more well-known just for that reason.
Well, Samantha, every step and being a yes person, very positive from that sort of point of view. Not any yes insofar as just literally saying yes to everybody, but you're just going for that. Samantha Sutherland, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today? Has it been okay for you?
It's been lovely. Thank you so much for having me.
Well,
it's been really nice to talk about the show.
The next critical question is, can we connect with you again in the not-too-distant future, possibly when you've wrapped the actual tour and have a sort of little postscript on whether you preferred Richmond to Darlington to Wolverhampton or Oxford, etc. Will you be kind enough to return?
Oh, yeah, I'll give you all the gritty details and all the venues. It'll be my pleasure.
Samantha Sutherland, we salute you. Take care now.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.